Okay, so we're picking up about 7-8 lines down, Beis Shammai Omrim. Now, just to go back, there is a machlokes, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, in the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amud Beis, as to whether or not the status of women when they pass away is nida or not. Beis Shammai Omrim, if you go back to the Mishnah on Samach Tes Amud Beis, Kol Hanashem Mesos Nidos, all women die as nidos, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Ein Nida Ela Shemesa Nida. The only person who dies Anita is the one who was Anita when she died. Okay, pretty straightforward. Beis Shammai is honestly the weird opinion that we have to understand. Why is it that all women who die should be considered to be in a state of Nida? So the Gemara is going to explain now Beis Shammai's opinion. Maita Mayhu Beis Shammai. What is the reason of Beis Shammai? So for that, we go into a discussion that actually relates around the Megillah. So the Megillah tells us, V'tischalchal ha-malka me'od, that the queen got very shaken, I would say, is probably the best way to translate that word for now. The Amar Rav, and Rav says, Melame Shapir Sanita, this teaches that she became Anita. So Rav seems to be understanding that when a woman experiences some sort of fear, that causes that she becomes Anita. So therefore, based on this, the Gemara will suggest the reason for Beis Shammai. Hachanami here too. Agav Beitusa Dimalacha Dimavsa Chazia. So maybe we can answer that here. The reason why Beis Shammai say all women when they die are nidos is because there's a fright that comes upon them immediately before they pass from the Malach HaMaves. And that fright, perhaps we could say, based on the way Rav interpreted this pasuk about Esther, that such fright would cause every woman to become a nida, and therefore every woman, when she passes away, since she's experienced this fright immediately before she dies, is considered a nida. And that's the that's the current understanding of Beis Shammai.
What does that mean, that she becomes a nida? You mean if you touched her at the moment of death,
he's talking about a physical reality.
Right.
He's talking about a physical reality, meaning when a woman gets very, very scared, at this point, we're going to try to explain that in slightly more detail as we go on, but when a woman gets scared, blood will come out from her.
From the uterus.
From the uterus, yes.
But then a moment later, she's dead, and then she's...
Right. Well, we'll talk about all the things that will relate to that. When, you know, when she's tummy nida, when she's tummy. Oh well, that's part of what we're discussing now in the next Mishnah. But yes.
I just want to comment something, Bob. Yeah. Actually, you're not supposed to touch a mace just before she's before they're nifter at all.
Right.
Anyways,
I did see once
I didn't
upon
know that
a time.
Alaka, so I just thought it was important.
I just don't know when that is. The just before.
No, but so you see, the person's imminent. You're not supposed to be touching them. So.
Right, because apparently that can, in some way,
can bring death.
Right, can faster. Bring death. You don't want to get yourself in trouble with stuff
for
like that.
It's for death.
Right. Well, obviously, it's not for Tumas Nida.
Yeah, nothing to do with Nida. No.
Yeah. There is. I'm trying to remember where I saw this once upon a time. It wasn't in any context of the Gemara. But I remember someone having the Shaila, you know, if Lo Aleinu, someone's wife passes away, and she is a Nida, and it was known like that, I'm assuming what Paskin probably like Beis Hillel here, is he allowed to move her if that's necessary, or things like that, meaning until when does that go on? Obviously there's none of the chashashos that come along with touching a Nida while she's alive. But anyways, the point is to say here that this is Beis Shammai's suggestion, based on the way Rav interprets this, that because there's a momentary fear before the woman passes away, therefore she becomes a Nida. Asks the Gemara, is going to question this. But we have a Mishnah, which seems to disagree, which says that fear seems to stop women from being roa dam nida, that they will not become a nida. And there are cases where we say that we assume that a woman will not be a nida, even if she would normally. Why? Shecharada misalekes es adamim. So ask the Gemara, how can it go both ways? Does it make the woman experience nida, or does it make her specifically not experience nida? Answers the Gemara, halo kasha, that's not a kasha, pach datsamis beitusa marpi. Says the Gemara, Pachad, which you see as Rashi explains, Da'agas Yira, like a certain elongated worry or fear.
They're calling it anxiety.
Anxiety, stress, correct, that's the way that we described it in the first daf. That is something which will actually cause her not to see Damnida. However, Be'itusa Marpi, a sudden Habehalot Pit'om, a sudden fear. And apparently the Malach HaMaves is included in that, that we should not find out anytime soon, is something which is Marpi, and that will cause her, yes, to experience Nidus. So this is the way that the Gemara explains Beis Shammai, that all women do actually become nidos immediately prior to their passing because they have this sudden fear. Now, the Gemara is going to ask a question based on this. Elahad Zitan, we have another Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim kol ha'anashim meisim zavin, u'beis Hillel Omer ein zav elamisha meis zav. We have the equivalent machlokas, not just by women and nida, but by men and zav. That Beis Shammai holds all men die as zav, and Beis Hillel holds, no, it's only the ones who were zavin beforehand. Now, we would assume that the same reason is going to apply to both. So ask the Gemara based on that, if we're going to say that there is this idea of pachtat samis bitzus amarpi even by a man, which is the assumption of the Gemara, that it will go, that this logic applies even to men as well. How can that work? Why? Because ikri kan, the pasuk tells us about zav, mi bisaro velo machmas onso. If it's something that happens due to an ones, then there is actually no tuma of zav altogether. And I don't think there's a bigger onus than the Malach HaMaves. If that's the case, Beit Shammai is internally inconsistent. On the one hand, for women, they say it happens because Bitus Amarpi, and for men, Bitus Amarpi wouldn't make them Tame. But again, Bitus Amarpi, meaning the sudden fear, would cause them to become Anita. But for men, that wouldn't work, because that fear would not actually render the men a Zav. So how can Beis Shammai work then? So answers the Gemara, it's true. It has nothing to do with this sudden becoming Anita. Elatama de Beis Shammai kidetanya. The reason of Beis Shammai is like we learned in a Braisa. Barishtrana hayu matvilin kelin al gabe nidos mesos. As Rashi notes, we're talking about things that were on top of Anita before she passed away, meaning clothing or things like that. They would be tovel those. And what happened was the and the women who were Nida alive, they were very embarrassed because they see, wow, look how stringent the Torah is about Nida, that someone dies and we're still going to wash their clothing after they've already died. And they felt very, very bad about being a Nida. And therefore, because of this, says the Gemara, Hitkinu Shehayu Matpilin Al Gabe Kol Hanashim Ifnei Kvodan Shall Not Nidos Chayos. And therefore, they decided that all the clothes that were on all the people earlier on, those also had to be washed because of the honor of the other nidos, that they shouldn't feel, you know, like there's something wrong with them. They shouldn't feel embarrassed about their nido status. Therefore, they did this for all women who passed away, not just for the women who were nidos. And so too, Barishona hayu matvilan agabe zavin meisin, v'hayu zavin chayin mispaishin, iskinu shei matvilan agabe kol ha'anashim ivnei kvoron shel zavin chayim. And so too with the men, the zav men, who saw that even after this person died, we were still concerned that he was a zav. And therefore, we were doing certain things to wash the clothing that he had on earlier. Therefore, because they felt bad about that, we started doing it to everybody, so that way the zavim and the nidos would not feel embarrassed about their status. So therefore, it turns out that Beis Shammai doesn't actually believe that every woman is in fact a nida at the time she passes away, but simply we made a takana on all women that they should be treated as such in regards to washing their clothing so that other people don't feel bad. Okay, so that's the conclusion of the Gemara in the understanding of Beis Shammai. Any questions? It's not an easy Gemara today. I apologize. This was not easy and the rest is not going to get much easier. Okay. Next Mishnah. This Mishnah goes back to what we were talking about before, where the Tumas Misa versus Tumas Nida. So that's what the Mishnah talks about. Ha'isha Shemesa, if you had a woman who passed away, v'yatza mimena revius dam, and one revius of blood comes out of her. Now, a revius of blood is a necessary shear, it's a necessary amount that we consider to be metame ba'ohel in general. There's different levels of Tuma. There's, as we know, Tumas Mace. The tuma of a corpse itself, the corpse, when you have at least one revius of blood that's present somewhere, that dam has the status of tumas mase as well, and that can be mitame ba'ohel. Even if there's nothing remaining, just blood. One revius of blood is the amount that will be mitame ba'ohel.
From a mase,
yes, not from a live person. That's what we're going to be discussing here. So in this case, it talks about a woman who passed away and a revius of dam came out around the time of her passing. Says the Gemara, mitama mishum kasem. Number one, it has tumas nida, meaning it wouldn't actually render her a nida if it came out after her death, as we're going to see. But it does have the tuma of nida upon it, as the Gemara will explain. And so there will be a tuma of nida relating to this dam, And there will also be a tumah of mace relating to this damo matamba boa because it's a revius amount. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, Eina mitama mishum kesem. How can you possibly say that this has nida status, this blood? Again, and we'll discuss greater this in greater detail in the Gemara. He says, that's not the case. Mipnei shenekar mishemesa, because the blood only came out of her after she passed away. We can't consider that to be nida blood. Rather, we can consider it only to be metama be'ohel, that it would have the status of tamei meis blood, but not the status of nida blood. Umoda Rabbi Yehuda, however, says the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Tanakama, seemingly that it has both statuses when biyosheves al mashper, if a woman is giving birth, umesa, and she passes away, viyatza mimena revias dam, and in that case the revias comes out, shehi metama mishum kesem, that would also be metame mishum kesem, that there you'd have both the concern of nida, because it came out while she was alive, as well as metama be'ohel. Okay, the Gemara will discuss all of the shittos here in greater detail. And finally, Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, in that case, where we know that it came out before she passed away, lefikach eina mitama ba'ohel, then it shouldn't have tumas meis. So in summary, we have three shittos in the Mishnah. There are two very straightforward shittos and one complicated shita. The simplest shita is that of Rabbi Yossi. He says, if it comes out when she passes, it's tamei ba'ohel. If it comes out when she's alive, it's tamei mishum nida. That's it. End of story. It's either or. You can't have simultaneously both Tumas Meis and Tumas Nida on this blood, because it was either from before or from after. That's Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama is the next simplest shita, not necessarily to understand, but at the very least in determining. He says, presumably, even when Dam comes out after she passes away, it has both the halacha of Nida and the halacha of Tumas Meis and is Metame Ba'ohel. That's Tanakama's opinion. And finally, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it comes out afterwards, it is only Tumas Meis. If it comes out before, it has both. Okay, so the Gemara will explain now all of these shittos in greater detail. Yes, that's what it seems to be. We'll talk about why that is. It's not a Tumas Meis De'oraisa, but it's going to be a Gzera D'Rabbanan on coming out close to the time of her death. Okay, that's the way that all of these shittos operate. So let's see those details in the Gemara now. Mm-hmm. Says the Gemara, Michlal de Tanakama Savar Afal Gav de Neakar Dam Mishemesa Mitama Mishum Kesem. Asks the Gemara, how is it that Tanakama, if you look at the first case of the Mishnah, seems to believe that even, right, based on what Rabbi Huda responds, that even when blood comes out after she passes, that there is Dam Nida, that it is Mitama Mishum Kesem. Asks the Gemara, how can that be? Amar Ziri answers, Mikor Mikomo Tame Ika Benayu. The machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, in the case where blood comes out after she passes, where Tanakama says it is both Tumas Meis and Tumas Nida, and Rabbi Yehuda says it only has Tumas Meis, is about Mikor Mikoro Tame. As Rashi explains, Tanakama is of the opinion that any blood that was in the uterus while she was still alive, even if it comes out afterwards, that blood itself is considered Tame. Now again, it wouldn't render her a Nida if it came out after she passed away, but that blood itself actually has Toma status of Nida, and therefore that's why he says, Mitama Mishum Kesem. Okay? What Nafkaminos it has? It has Nafkaminos for Toma Tahara, but nevertheless, and that even would be with one drop of the blood that comes from the uterus, not a Revius. The Revius is only there, so we have the Tomas Mace element as well. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda says, just because something was in the uterus doesn't make it tame. It only depends on when it actually comes out of her body, and therefore if it comes out after she passes, there is no din tomas nida on this blood.
Silly question. Is there any difference in the age of the woman?
Nope. The Mishnah does not differentiate. Practically speaking, you know, you may not actually have that happening later ages. Or lower ages, yeah. Right?
Is the Gemara sort of using Tumas Ohel and Tumas Meis almost simultaneously?
I'm using them the same way. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Tumas Meis that can be Mitame, but Ohel, yeah.
Touched it would be the same.
That's what I'm using it to refer to. Touching it, there may be. I don't know the exact details of the Tumah, but I'm talking about yes, the Tumas Meis and Tumas Ohel. I'm using them in the same way, but really the Mishnah talks. Yes, I'm using them interchangeably. Because that's the type of tumah that will be ba'ohel, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, continues the Gemara. It's a bit of a weird read. This next line, Umoda Rabbi Yehuda, going back to the case where Rabbi Yehuda admits to Tanakama, Bioshevis al Mashber Umesa Viyatsa Miman Raviyastam is Mitama Mishum Kasem. That again, if it came out while she's still alive, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's Tamei Mishum Kasem, and also seems to believe that it's also Mitame Ba'ohel. So says the Gemara, Michlal de Tanakama, and as Rashi notes and various other Rishonim notes, this actually refers to Rabbi Yehuda. This is Tanakama going to be relative to Rabbi Yossi. So Michlal, and we'll read it as some of the Girsa of the Rishonim, Michlal de Rabbi Yossi, de Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Be'ohel Nami Mitame. It seems to imply that since it says Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Tanakama, that he will even say that this blood which comes out for a woman who's giving birth and actually seems to have technically come out before she passed, also has Tumas Ohel. And why is that? Right? Why should he hold of that if it came out beforehand? So Amar Rav Yehuda explains the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Dam Tevusa Ika Binayu, that the Machlokas between him and Rabbi Yossi is actually about Dam Tevusa, where Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, we are Gozer, Tumas Ohel on Dam Tevusa Midra Banan, and that this is a case of Dam Tevusa. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, we are not Gozer on this blood to be Matami Ba'ohel, and that's why it says Lefikach Eina Matami Ba'ohel. Now, what is Dam Tevusa? I don't know what the word Tevusa actually means, but as we're going to see, it's blood that is in some sort of suffix of whether or not it should be Tame. And we're going to see exactly the details of it now in a massive four-way machlokas. First chita, Izehu, right to Tanya, as we learned in the Brisa, Izehu Dam Tevusa. What is Dam Tevusa? Pirish Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yehuda, or Elazar Rabbi Yehuda explains, Harug Sheyatza Mimenu Dam. So now we're not talking about women anymore. A regular person, if blood leaves their body, bein b'chayav, bein b'moso, safek b'chayav yatza, safek b'moso yatza, safek b'chayav uvimoso. If we're not sure if it left fully before the person passed away, fully after the person passed away, during that. So for example, if someone has a wound and we're not, what?
Stabbed.
Correct. If someone was stabbed and we don't know when the blood came out, says Elazar Rabbi Yehuda, that's the case of Dam Tevusa, Zehu Dam Tevusa. In that case, we're going to be Gozer Tuma on this blood because we don't know when it came out. Therefore, since it might actually be Dam, which is Mide Oraisa, going to have the status of Tumas Ohel on it, therefore, we're Gozer that it's Tamei Midrabanan because we're Mesupik about it. The Chachamim strongly disagree. And they disagree for the following reason. Vachamim Omrim, no. Birishus hayachid sveiko tamei, birishus harabim sveiko tar. The Chachamim would look at the case of Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yehuda and say, one second, there is a general rule when we have a suffix of tuma, and people get into these discussions around Hanukkah, even though it's not quite the same thing, tuma hotra b'tzibur, but if you have a suffix of tuma, again, not the same thing as Hanukkah, a regular case where you are not sure if something is mitame, it depends. If it's in rishus harabim, it's actually considered tahor. If it's in rishus hayachid, it's what is considered tame. Very good. That's the status of it. And therefore, the Chachamim say, if we're not sure whether or not this blood may have come out fully after the person had passed away, you're dealing with simply a suffix of tuma. So that can't be the case that we're gozer on Dam Tevusa, because that has a halacha that already has to do with it, and that is, again, sveik birshus hayachid, sveik otame, birshus harabim, sveik otahor. So they say, again, because since there's a possibility that all of this dam came out after the person passed, which would make it actually tamei mid oraisa, therefore they do not agree with his definition of dam tevusa. They say that has a separate law which affects it, which is sveiko brishus ayach and sveiko brishus arabim. Therefore they disagree. Now what is their definition of dam tevusa? They have a slightly nuanced definition, and they say the following. So what happened was, according to the Rabbanan, here is the case of Dam Tevusa. Someone was, let's say again, stabbed, and they lost in total. We know that certainly it started while they were still alive, and it continued on to the point where they passed, and one Revius in total has come out. Now, we have to remember, less than a Revius is not going to have Tuma. Mida Oraisa, that's the shear which you have. Yeah. So, since it has come out partially beforehand and partially afterwards, the words v'adayin lo pasak are hard to understand exactly what they mean. There's a few different theories. You can see the different rishonim here, but they're not relevant to the case that we're trying to explain, so we won't talk about them. Safek rubo b'chayav u'mi'uto b'moso, safek mi'uto b'chayav rubo b'moso, zehu dam tevusa. Explain the Chachamim, the case of dam tevusa is relevant here. where we're not sure if most of it came out when the person was alive or most of it came out when the person had passed already. If most of it had come out when the person had passed, we would certainly be gozer on it and say you should be concerned that that blood is mitami v'oel midrabanan, but they say we're even gozer in a case where we're not sure if we should be gozer, so to say, if most of it came out afterwards.
Because if you subtract what came out while he was alive, you wouldn't have enough.
Correct. Guaranteed you wouldn't have enough. Therefore, it doesn't fall to the same question that they themselves had on Rabbi Eliezer, because there is no circumstance under which you will have a full revius of blood that is actually coming from the person who passed. So, again, Rabbi Eliezer's was, we're not sure at all when this blood came out. Chachamim say, we know some came out before and some after, therefore we just gozer on it. Everybody clear on the two definitions so far?
Gozer
to Masoel. Okay, and that's what Dam Tevusa is. Those were the first two opinions. Now we get to more opinions. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a very different case. Haruk Sheyatza Mimenu Revius Dam. Again, same story, someone basically is stabbed. Lo aleinu, and v'haya mutal b'mita, and they were in a bed. V'damo mitaftef leguma, and the blood was dripping down. Drip, 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 drip. Okay, the reason why I'm saying drip, 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 drip is not just to add gore, but actually we'll see it's important to the Gemara. Okay, v'damo mitaftef leguma, tame. Why? Why is that blood tame? Mipnei shehatipa shel misa me'oreves bo, because the drop of death, okay, that drop from when he passed away is mixed in with this blood. Therefore, that blood is tameh. V'chachamim mitaharin, and the chachamim say no. Such blood would actually not be mitameh ba'ohel, even if a revius accumulated with this drip, 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 drip. Mipnei shirishon rishon nifsak. Because as I said earlier, the blood went drip, drip, drip. Meaning, we know that some of the blood had come out while the person was still alive. So some of the blood that's in this hole or on the ground under the bed, in this puddle or in this, really it's a ditch that's under the bed, was tahor blood, meaning not blood which had tumas meis. So the first drop comes in, drip, what happens to the blood? Bittul! It gets mixed in with the other blood, and we're not going to say the whole puddle. And the next drop, drip. So even if later it accumulates and it gets up to a revius, it doesn't matter, each additional drop is bittul in the blood from beforehand.
Shit. Puddle of tahor blood to start.
Correct.
It wasn't a drop of tahor and then a drop of...
Correct. You must have had, you know, 2, 3, 5, right. 15.
So it makes everything...
Correct. It's going to be mevatel everything that comes on. And that's why the Rabbanan say it's tahor, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it's actually going to be tamei. Okay? Yeah. Now, ask the Gemara, Shapir ka'amri le Rabbanan. If that's the reason of the Rabbanan, then that's a pretty good reason. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree with them about this? Why does he say that it's tameh? If it's a case of bittul, everybody agrees that bittul works.
Yes.
So answers the Gemara. Shapik amar l'rabban Rabbi Yehuda. They said very nicely, Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh. Rabbi Yehuda follows his own reasoning. Damar ein dam mevatel dam. He has of the opinion that dam is never mevatel other dam. Once you have blood, blood is not mevatel other blood. Therefore, the drops remain there in the bottom, and therefore it's worth it to say that this should be... that this should be tummy, all this dumb, because there is no bittel.
Is that the only case of something not being bittel like that,
Mr. Freak? Min b'mino, does that have anything to do with this?
So we do say min b'mino. I'm not sure if this is specifically about dumb that he refers to this, but there is an opinion as well, excellent, that min b'mino, anytime you have something with, together with its own type, is also not going to be mevotel, and that would equally apply here, I would assume. Yeah, so you could say that...
Blood alive is.
He might say
than
that
blood.
Too. What he's about to say that right. Living blood is different than dead.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if that how that works. But anyways, the point is to say, at the very least, we have an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that dam is not mevatel dam. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's tameh. Rabbanan say that it's tahor. Right. If you want to see the way that the Rashi explained this, she'ein zav bekiluach. It wasn't coming out in a stream. Ela notef, it was dripping ve'elkach, afilo hayarov la'achar misa tahor. Explained that even according to the Chachamim, even if most of the blood came out here la'achar misa, they are not going to be gozer on it. Why? Because it was already mivotal. Right? And again, well, if there would be dam tevusa, according to the Chachamim, only when it comes out consistently and most of the blood came after the person died, or if there was a suffix, if it came out mostly afterwards or mostly before, That's when we would be gozer dam tevusa, according to the Chachamim, but not if it's mevutal. Okay, it's only when the mixture is great, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even since there's no bittel here, it is a case where you have this drop of death blood and possibly even a rove, therefore Rabbi Yehuda says you would say that is dam tevusa here. Finally, the last case, Rabbi Shimon Omer, a very interesting case. We're going to go with the simple interpretation, which is saluv al ha'etz. We're talking about someone who's actually being crucified. Shedamo shoseis la'aretz. In this case, the blood is not dripping out, but is actually pouring down onto the ground. Very gory scene, unfortunately, again. V'nimtza tachta revias dam, and we see revias underneath the body. So he says that it's tamei. Rabbi Yehuda mitahar, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, the person is actually tahar. Shani omer tipa shalmisa omeres lo al gav ha'etz. He says that the drop of death blood, again, is actually still on the wood which the person was crucified on. And therefore, it's not because Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't allow it to be batal, but he says, don't worry, the blood is still on the wood, and the blood that's underneath is considered tahor. Okay, for that purpose. Now, asks the Gemara the very obvious question. 1 minute ago, Rabbi Yehuda just told us that what? You don't assume that the blood is on the bed, you assume that it's fallen down. Why here are we assuming that the blood is still on the cross and not having fallen down? What changed between the two cases according to Rabbi Yehuda? And says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, neima ihu l'nafshei, shani omer, tipa shalmi somer etzal gav amita. He says, why does Rabbi Yehuda question his own chita? If just a minute ago... If anything, that's more of a question, right? That's more of a question. Answers the Gemara, Shani b'mita timichalchalo. We actually go back to the language we began this year with. Says the bed is actually different because it's shaking. When someone obviously would be passing in a bed, it's probably not a great sight. And there may be all sorts of nerve endings and things like that, convulsions. And therefore, it's likely to, says Rabbi Yehuda, that all of the blood will be shaken off the bed. Whereas something which is very strong and unlikely to be moved, unfortunately... that's not the case, and therefore that's why he says that there's a difference between the bed case and the case of someone being crucified. All clear? Not simple, but that's the four-way machlokas that we have about this dam. Point is, by the way, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is of the opinion that there will be a tumah of dam tevusa, whereas Rabbi Yossi says there will not be gozer because of dam tevusa, and therefore if the blood certainly came out before she was nifter, then Rabbi Yossi will say there is no Tumas Ohel. Rabbi Yehuda will say there is. Okay. Barishona. Now we get to something even more complicated. Just some background here about Tumah and Tahara. I know it's late, but I'm going to do my best to get through this. So, everybody knows about all the different levels of Tumah. If you come across those already, I would assume, throughout the last cycle. But there is a Avi Avosa Tumah, which is a corpse itself. Someone who touches that is an Av HaTumah. Someone who touches that, or again, comes into contact with certain other tumos, Rishon, then a Sheni, then a Shlishi. Okay, that's really the main types of tumos that we have. The Mishnah is now going to talk about someone, a woman, who is in the stage of Dam Tohar. That means it's after the 7 or 14 days immediately following her childbirth, where she's in a section of time where it's considered that the blood that's coming out of her does not render her Tamei. She has the status of a Tevulas Yom, because she's already gone to the mikvah, but she's not fully tahora yet, and she has the status of a sheni latuma. Now, a sheni latuma, if she touches a vessel, will not transmit shlishi to the vessel, and that the vessel will transmit tuma to the what's inside it. That's just not the case. It is, however, if she actually touches a liquid itself, that liquid will have the status of shlishi.
The liquid always becomes rishon.
Right. Well, it will become right. It will become. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. It will be metameit. Yes, meaning because it would have been. We'll actually talk about a case where it won't. But yes, and the point is to say, if she touches liquid, it will become tamei. If she touches a vessel, it will not become tamei because she's a sheni. That's all we need to know for the Mishnah. We'll get into the nitty gritty afterwards about liquids always being rishons or not, in the next Mishnah. So. Says the Mishnah, Barishona, originally the Hayu Omrim, they used to say, Hayosheves al dam tohar, if a woman is in this stage, Haisa me'aremayim lepesach, she would be able to pour water, because she's just holding the vessels, and this water was going to be used to wash off the Korban Pesach, obviously would have to stay in a high state of purity. You cannot have pour tummy water on a Korban Pesach, that would be disastrous. Okay? Chazru Lomar, and they actually changed to say, Harehi kimaga tamei meis lekadshim kedivrei Beis Hillel. And they actually changed their mind. Beis Hillel said, she's actually like someone who's touched, someone who's tamei meis, meaning she is not a sheni l'tama, but she's a rishon l'tama, which means if she would touch a vessel, the vessel would become a sheni and transmit tuma to liquids, and therefore she was no longer allowed to pour the water for the Korban Pesach. And Beis Shammai Omrim, no, even worse, afke tamei meis. She's even like an ava tuma. So originally she was a sheni, now she becomes either a rishon or an av. Says the Gemara, first is going to make a diuk. Me'ara in noga aslo. She was allowed to pour it, but she wasn't allowed to touch it. Alma, we see chulin chenasu al taharas hakodesh kikodesh damu, because it would only transmit tuma to the water if this water was considered in a state of kedusha. Normally, a sheni can touch plain water, and apparently we don't have to worry about that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But if she touches kodesh water, there is an issue, and therefore she was allowed to pour, but not allowed to touch. Which teaches us that chulin that are being saved to be used on kodesh, and they were nasu al taharas hakodesh, they are considered the same status as kikodesh damu. And again, umahani behu sheni, and the sheni works. Okay, and would make them bad. Now, says the Gemara, ema seifa. However, if you look in the seifa of the Mishnah, chazru lomar, harehi kimaga tmeimes lekadshim. It says specifically in the seifa of the Mishnah that she's only considered to be someone who touches tmeimes in regards to kadshim themselves. Whereas it doesn't mention in regards to touching things which are tahor and going to be used, it says the Gemara, Alma, chulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh lav kikodesh damu. This proves to us that chulin which were made and, you know, intending to remain holy, that they are considered, they are not considered like kodesh itself, and therefore, in regards to touching those things, she would actually not be considered like a rishon, even according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that's the way the Gemara concludes. The Gemara then adds a separate point, masnis and mani. Who does the opinion of Beis Hillel follow? Says the Gemara, Abba Shaul, he is Abba Shaul, the Tanis, who went to the Rice, Abba Shaul, Omer, Tvul Yom Tchila Lekadesh, Letamish Naim, Velifsal Echad. Tvul Yom, basically, essentially what he's saying is a Tchila. Tchila means a Rishon, Letoma, and Lekadesh, Letamish Naim, can be Metame two levels down, a Sheni and a Shlishi level, and Velifsal Echad can pass a one level. The point is to say that is the opinion which Beis Hillel are associated with. Any questions? It's a tough Gemara to keep track of all the stuff. The main takeaways are as follows. Number one, original Takana. Because women who are Bidmei Tahara in Dam Tohar are considered like a Sheni, they used to originally be able to pour. They were later not allowed to pour by Beis Hillel, who considered them a Rishon, and Beis Shammai considered them a Av. Then the Gemara talks about whether or not Chulin Shenasu al Taharas HaKodesh are considered like Kodesh or not. It turns out to be a Machlokes. The second opinion is that it's not Kikodesh. And then the Gemara identifies the opinion of Beis Hillel with the opinion of Abba Shaul that it's Tvul Yom is actually considered a Rishon. Those are the takeaways, I think. Next Mishnah. However, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree, Umodim, Shehi Ocheles B'maser, V'kotza L'chala, U'makefes V'korel Hashem, all Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree to the following cases. Ocheles b'maser, she's allowed to eat maser like maser sheni. Kotza l'chala, she is allowed to take off a piece of chala. Umakefes, she can actually bring it close and she can take it off from the part that's close. Vikora l'shem, and she's actually allowed to declare, once she's done touching it, she's allowed to declare it holy. V'imnafal meiroka umidam tahara al kikar shel truma. However, if her spit or blood, actually, were to fall on a loaf of truma, shehu tahor, is considered holy. Okay, and the Gemara will explain the reason for all of these rules in the Mishnah. They both agree to all of these kulos, even though they considered her in regards to kodshim, like a rishon or an avatam on the previous Mishnah. They both agreed that she has all these statuses here. Now, Beis Shammai Omrim Tzricha Tfila Ba'achron. The question is like this. She went to the mikvah after the first 7 or 14 days, and now she moves into the status of Dam Tohar. What about after day 40 or 80? Does she have to go to the mikvah again? Because really, as we said, she's considered like a Tfulas Yom. A Tful Yom is someone who's only waiting to become Tahar afterwards and has already been to the mikvah. Yeah. So what's the status? So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that she needs to go to the mikvah again at the end, and Beis Hillel says no, she does not need to go to the mikvah again at the end. Okay? So, by the way, Rashi notes that kachim, in order to eat kachim and things like that, will actually need to, she will need to go to the mikveh. Anyways, but the point is to say, says the Gemara, what's the reason for each of these things in the Mishnah? So for the first thing in the Mishnah, that she can eat maaser, d'amar mar, tavval ve'ala ochar b'maaser, because the rule is that a tvulas yom can't eat maaser. So she who is considered a tvulas yom is allowed to eat maaser. That's the reason for the first case that they agree in the Mishnah. Next case, v'kotza l'achala, she can cut off a piece, chulin ha'tvulin l'chala, lav k'chala damu, because if she were to touch chala itself, she would in fact transmit tuma to it. However, since this is not yet challah, but it's just a piece of tevel, because it hasn't had challah taken off, says the Gemara, that's not like challah, and therefore she's allowed to touch that and to take off the challah itself, so long as she hasn't declared it yet. Uma kefes, okay, as we said, again, we're allowed to bring it close, as Rashi explains on the Mishnah. She can bring the kli to the Isa and things like that. Da'amar mar, mitzvah litrom and amukav, because you're supposed to. The mitzvah is to take it off from something which is very, very close to what you're actually taking it off for, so therefore she's allowed to do that. That's why she would be makefes. V'kora l'ashem, and she's even allowed to declare it as chala. Salka Dait Chamina says the Gemara, why would I think she wouldn't be allowed to? There's nothing wrong with saying harezu chala. Why is someone who's a tefulas yom not allowed to do that? Says the Gemara, Salka Dait Chamina nigzar dim alasi l'mnaga b'me avrayi kamash malan. Says the Gemara, we might have made a gzera that we're worried that she might touch it afterwards. Kamash Malan, no, we are not worried about that Gzera, and we even allow her to make it holy at this time. V'im nafal meiroka, so now this was the case. Now, if she is a tvulas yom, she is a sheni. Let's say spit comes out of her. What would you think the status of that spit is? Shlishi. You told me before that all liquids that are touched are a rishon. So there are exceptions now. That's why I said, this Gemara, we're going to see the exception. So says the Gemara as follows, V'imnafal miroka ditnan, mashke tvul yom, kimashkin hanogeya bahen. When it comes to a tvul yom, which is the case of this woman, again, who is in Dam Toar, any liquid which come out of their body are mashkin ayotzen menu, kimashkin hanogeya bahen, have the same status as if they were to touch them. Meaning, since if this tful yom, who is a sheni, would touch some liquid, that liquid would become a shlishi, so to the liquids that emerge from the body of a tful yom is also as that status. And ve'elu ve'elu einam mitamin, and those will not be able to render something else tamei. So even though it fell on a loaf of truma, it came right out of her body, nevertheless it does not render the loaf of truma tameh in any way. It's not an issue because the liquid was only a shlishi. And says the Gemara with a line that the Gra takes out, chush mimashke hazav shu avatoma, except for the liquid which comes out of a zav's body, which is itself an avatoma. It's ziva, that's an issue. Okay, because that's in the case of a tvul yom zav, whatever. But that's why it's not so relevant here, but the Gra takes it out. The point is to say, in this case, if spit or something else comes out of her body, then it's only going to be considered a shlishi and will not be able to render something else in turn tamei. And now for the machlokas b'shamay b'sila at the end of the Mishnah, my benayu, what is the machlokas between b'shamay and b'sila as to why b'shamay say she needs a tefillah at the end and b'sila holds she does not need to go to the mikvah? Am Rav Katina tvul yom arochika benayu, because we're talking about someone who's a tvul yom for a very, very long period of time, and therefore b'sila says at the end of the day they still have the status of tvul yom, and that's it. Whereas Beis Shammai says, no, they don't have the status of a tful yom anymore because it's for such a long time, they need to go to the mikvah again at the end. I'm just going to read through quickly the Mishnah because I did it with the first year in 1 minute. So basically the questions are, and I'll just read it very quickly so I don't want to keep people too long because we still have a few minutes left for the shir. Haroe yom achad asar. So as we remember from earlier in the Masechta, there are two counts that a woman used to keep, the 11 days of Ziva and the 7 days of Nidus. What happens if she starts seeing on the last day of the Zivos part? Meaning, in order to become a Zava, she needs to see at least three days, right? And the halacha is, if she sees for one day or 2 days, she's Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she has to wait to make sure that she does not continue seeing. Now, if the day which she's seeing is the last day, can she become a Zava? If it's the last day of the 11 days, and the next day is going to be the days of Nida? No, she cannot become a Zava, because she'll need more than one, right? Yeah. So the question is, what if she saw on day 11, v'tavla la'erev, then she went to the mikvah, v'shimsha, and she was together with her husband. V'shamay omer mitamin mishkav moshe v'chayav and bekarban, meaning she didn't wait at all, she just went to the mikvah and did that. V'shamay says, tamei and has a karban, v'tzilo say, p'tur min ha-karban, patzer from the karban, tavla b'yom shel acharav, let's say she went to the mikvah the following day, v'shimsha is based on again, v'achar kach rasa, and then afterwards she did see dam, Beis Shammai Omer Tamin Mishkav Moshe Vupturin Minah Karban. Beis Shammai says there is Tumah, which is Midrabanan, and they don't have to bring a Karban. Beis Hillel Omerim Harezeh Gargaran, there is no Tumah, but that's not a nice thing to do. Umodim, they both agreed. Baroah Besoch Yud Aleph Yom Vitavla Er Vishim Shetram Vivim Shem Tamin Mishkav Moshe Vechayav Vikarban. Both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree if it was, let's say, day 7 or 8 or 9 of the days of Ziva, that she would be, in fact, considered Tamei and have to bring a korban for being together with her spouse if she went to the mikvah right away and was not Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And finally, Tavla B'Yom Shel Achara V'Shimsha Hareza Tarbusra Omagan Uvilasan Teluyin. If that she went to the mikvah on the following day and then she was together with her spouse and she didn't wait to check if she would see Dam that full day, that's Tarbusra, it's a bad thing to do, and if she touched anything, and their Be'ilah depends on whether or not she will see in the continuation. Shkoyach.